Welcome to the happiest podcast on earth.
Jambo, everyone. What's up? And welcome to the happiest podcast on earth. In today's episode, we ask our good friend and animal expert, Eddie Simone, some fun and interesting questions about animals that you, the listeners, submitted. So stay tuned for that. If you enjoy the podcast, make sure to check out our website, happiestpodcastonearth.com, for all the latest merch, episodes, and more. You can also look to support us by joining us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/happiestpodcastonearth. If you want to join our happiest army and financially support the episode, with that subscription, you do get access to a bunch of fun bonus content, virtual hangouts, and a whole lot more. So go ahead and check out patreon.com/happiestpodcastonearth for that. You can also definitely check out one of our sponsors that we mentioned throughout the episode that always goes a long way for us as well. With all that being said, let's introduce your happiest podcast on our team for today's episode. My name is Jarrett Fenema, and I am joined here today by Mel Geo.
Hey, everybody.
We have Hunter Hazen.
Hey. Oh, missed my mute. Hey.
Oh, my gosh. Nick Foster.
Hola.
All right, we have Corey Benty.
Hey, there he is.
We have the one, the only, Eddie Simone.
How's everyone doing?
And don't forget, Luke.
Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
All right, I love it.
The man.
All right, it's time to go around the table here. Per usual, I will go ahead and get things started as far as news goes. So earlier in the episode, right at the beginning, we talked about Lost Bros being our newest sponsor. Super excited to have them on here. Just again, a reminder, you can check out their website, thelostbros.com. Use that HAPPY15 promo code for 15% off your first purchase. They did recently come out with their newest line on Monday, which was Toy Story themed. Not sure if it's going to still be there by the time you hear this because it does go fast. They are very popular. They go quick. So stay tuned. If you want to follow them on social media as well, every Monday they tend to release some really cool merchandise themed around different theme parks, movies, things like that, especially with the theme parks that we love. So go ahead and check them out, thelostbros.com. For our Patreon people, so in our discussion, in our live on YouTube, just before recording here, we have decided for our virtual hangout this month, we're going to be doing a rankings night. We're going to have a bunch of different things that we will rank as a team from Patreon. So we will have some drinks. You can just hang out and have a good time. So stay tuned for that. I will give you a date here shortly. We'll probably do the middle of this month. As far as that goes, we tend to usually do it on a Friday night. So probably next Friday or the Friday after. Also, Nick, super excited. We got to experience Typhoon Lagoon. What's the official Glow Night? H2O Glow Night.
H2O Glow Nights. Honestly, one of my favorite after hours events that I have ever done. It was so much fun. Stay tuned because the YouTube video is going to get posted this week. By the time you guys hear this, it's going to be out there. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel, Happiest Podcast on Earth. We appreciate all the love on those videos, but it was a blast. I had so much fun. In fact, I bought tickets for the family to go back because I feel like it's that much of a value. I'm not going to give too much away because I don't want to spoil anything. If you want to know more about this event, you have to go to the YouTube video to watch it. But it was seriously such a great time. And yeah, we can't wait. I can't wait to take the family. It was so much fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. Special shout out to Emery as well. She joined us, had a really good time with that. So Emery, thank you for joining. And we definitely will get a lot of content your way here shortly as far as that goes. And then just a couple other things. Hoop-de-doo opening weekend is coming up in a couple weeks.
I knew
weeks.
It was going to get fun. Here we go again.
On week number 9 of mentioning hoop-de-doo. My gosh.
Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of great. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to throw that in there. And good friend of the podcast. I know when Lauren was on here with me, we both went on Perry's podcast. Perry, you know who you are. Congratulations on your wedding here this weekend. Super stoked. I know you listen to our episodes usually, so maybe not on wedding weekend. I don't know if you'll be listening, but or you're going to be listening during the old Jared, stop it. I'm just kidding. So, but special shout out to you. Super excited for you and excited to hang out with you when you guys get back. So just a special shout out to him. All right. That's all I have. Anybody else have anything before we get started?
If you did not take part in our live and you're listening to this episode when it gets posted on Friday, the date on Friday is June 10th. You will be able to find on our Patreon the first two episodes. I'm making a call. I'm calling it Hunter World. It is going to be something where, oh yeah, shocker to a lot of you, Mel and Corey just raised their eyebrows at me. Just something where I will be getting on the mic and just discussing some things solo, going through, you know, a little bit about me and Disney. Episode one, episode two will be the golden days of Disney parks, i.e. three periods I'm going to focus on. The mid-2000s, especially 2006 of my child, all of my life experience, by the way. We're going to go 2006 because I feel like that was a good year of Disney. 2015, full of cast member exploits on main gate passes that I loved. It was the best time ever. And 2021, the parks reopening, whatever percent capacity it was, they would never tell us, but they're like a quarter of the people in the parks, no fast passes. So we're going to go in depth on a couple of those in Hunter World. And the goal of that series is to eventually build up to a few main episodes where we'll be redesigning the entire Walt Disney World Resort area to make sense and be good. Wow. Right, Nick?
I feel like I need to make a guest appearance on this to combat everything that you have to say.
See, the glory about this series is that I can say whatever I want.
Sounds like a really negative time.
It's not negative. It's going to be very positive. I'm going to fix Walt Disney World. We're going to fix this together.
I'm so curious. Sounds negative already. I want to see what Hunter's picture is going to be. Really do. I want to see the whole thing played out. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. First episode's coming to Patreon. Check it out. Friday, June 10th.
Love it. Anybody else?
I have a wedding date. I know to the listeners, they might not understand this because I already had one. I'm not going into it, but we have a new one. So December 15th, I'm really excited. So that's
2022.
No, I'm just kidding. 2022. Nice. We're not waiting another year. It's not happening.
Very nice. Very nice. HPOE wedding number two. We're pretty good wedding crashers. So
I'm bribing everyone by saying I'll take them to see the Rockefeller Center, like in the tree and stuff, if they come to my wedding. So
I hold you to that.
I will do it. I will do it.
I feel like you're going to be kind of busy. Maybe kind of busy for that.
If I show up the day of and day after your wedding, you think we could go to Rock Center still?
Mel, I thought Corey was going to be able to pick me up from the airport on Thursday to bring me to Waco. And that dude said, no, you have to Uber and spend $150.
I will not do that. I'm so close to New
York. I got sick.
On Jared's worst ever Uber experience.
Worst Uber. I got life. Sick. Jared, but no.
House in Connecticut.
What's that?
You can stay in my house in Connecticut.
All right. Connecticut's really not that far.
It's like a whole nother state.
Yeah,
but it's Uber to Jersey's
outside of New York City.
He's really not that far then.
Okay.
Like John has friends in Connecticut. It takes him like 2 hours and 15-ish minutes, 30 minutes.
Not taking that Uber.
I'm right on the border of New York.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's not bad. So there you go.
I love it. I will definitely be going to New York City for the Home Alone tour to see everything from Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Just saying, Eddie, if you've got the spots, I want to know.
I'm already going to be home for 2 weeks.
Oh, let's go. So you might be my plus one.
Hey, I even got to have a good time. Decorates all the lights for the whole city. He was in college with me.
That's awesome. So Mel, super excited. Mel, stoked for you.
Sure, there's also the pigeon experience in the park if you do the Home Alone tour.
They hand you a loaf of white bread and say, go have fun.
I'll throw the seeds on them.
Yeah.
Throw the seeds on them. And
I kind of want it. That would be fun. Maybe for a loss, like a game day, like last place, you have to get pigeoned at New York for Mel's wedding.
Pigeons? You have to get pigeoned or you weren't in New York. There you go.
We're definitely going to be in last. So I think.
Here we go. Love it. Very cool, Mel. Definitely excited for you.
Thank you.
Beautiful time of the year there. Beautiful time.
Yeah. we are sponsored by MagicCandleCompany.com. Head to MagicCandleCompany.com for all of your latest fragrances, favorite scents that you can find around the parks. They have candles, waxes, things, and more of all of your favorite scents that you can find in those parks. And you can use Happy 15 for 15% off of your purchase. So check them out today. All right, let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the second episode that we've been able to do this. So we were blessed to have Eddie already, but happy to have you again, Eddie. Thanks for joining. And so we are going to be asking Eddie again a lot of listener questions that you all submitted through our Instagram and other social media. So let's get down to it. We're going to have some fun questions here. Some are just informational. Some are just random. Just give us what you got, whatever you think is best. But these will be fun. So we have a special guest as well, who is going to be asking you a question, Eddie.
Okay.
So let's go ahead. Luke, ask away, my friend.
What's your favorite animal?
Wow, my favorite animal. That's always a tough question for me when I get that from guests. Favorite animal that I actually take care of over at the lodge, I'm going to have to say it's a toss-up between the Patterson Eland and the Ruppel's Griffin Vultures, and then the Apala as well.
I love that you love – so I think we talked about this last episode we had you on, but I love that you're a fan of the vultures, because that's just – it's not a popular animal that people pick. But yeah, Eddie is literally like vulture – oh, yeah, let's go. You do have the shirt. He's wearing a vulture shirt, ladies and gentlemen.
Straight from California to save the condors.
I love that.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
And I've got quite a few tattoos of vultures on me that I've worked with that are still around if you're ever at the lodge.
Aww.
That's awesome.
Very nice.
What Luke is it loves vultures? Like, sorry, I'm totally interrupting.
What was that?
I said, what about vultures, though? Like, you leveled, why? Like, what is the appeal to you about vultures?
There's a lot of reasons. One, I feel like they're very misunderstood creatures. They're always associated with death in a very negative way, especially if you think about, like, cartoons. They're always just around death or...
Kind of like Splash Mountain.
It's like a perfect example, Snow White.
It's not like a bald eagle or something that everyone goes crazy for. But they're very important to our ecosystem of cleaning up, you know, all the mess that no one else would clean up. So it stops from bacteria and diseases from spreading to us humans. I can go more into that because there's a lot of cool things that vultures have done, especially in India, that's helped stop a rabies outbreak due to vultures. Yeah. But they were on the brink of extinction due, and then because there wasn't that many vultures. So there's carcasses of these animals were getting eaten now by wild dogs and cats. And then they were now getting mixed with domestic animals. Oh, and there was rabies being spread. It was pretty serious. But then India was able to bounce back and bring vultures back to a sustainable population.
Wow.
And able to solve that problem.
That's amazing. Yeah,
but yeah, they're very smart bird. They're the highest flying bird in the world. They go over 30,000 feet in the air flying.
Did you see the video I sent you, Eddie?
Yes.
How sick was that? You weren't
the first one to send me. I guess people know how much I love vultures. I got a lot of people
that same video.
yesterday.
That was unreal.
Very coincidence. I loved it. Yeah. Loved it. But yeah, that just shows you how high they go up.
That was
and they have also the best eyesight of any bird. They can say they can see it up to almost 5 miles.
Wow. Cool. Luke,
what else awesome. You got? All right. He has another question.
My favorite animal is a giraffe. And how long do their necks grow?
Well, they basically, it all depends on, I do love giraffe too, but it all depends obviously the males and the females, different lengths and size. When they're first born, they get about almost 6 feet but the ones that I've seen that were born were average around like 5'10", 5'11". It's already taller than me, unfortunately. But yeah. I always see that's these giraffes cool. come out and I'm already looking up to them. I was like, wow. You know, that's so yeah, always a fun fact on Kilimanjaro when they talk about the vertebrae, but about 7 vertebrae in their neck, same as us.
That's wild.
But yeah, I mean, we have giraffes that are basically, I think our tallest one's about 18 and a half feet. Reticulators are huge, are not the tallest of the giraffe subspecies, but they're one of them.
That is awesome.
The size are a little bit smaller that you'll see at the park.
Luke is always super intrigued by the giraffes when we go by, and he could stand in the center of the lodge for hours and just watch those things go by. He loves it so much.
Yeah, let me know.
Thanks, Luke. Thank you for your questions.
Luke, crushing the questions.
Let me know when it's there so I can be able to showcase these beautiful animals.
Yeah. You guys should go. Luke, you need to go to Animal Kingdom Lodge and visit Eddie so he can show you a little tour.
We'll do that for sure.
I'm actually one of the giraffe trainers.
Oh, that's awesome.
We do a lot of cool stuff with our giraffe.
We will do that. First, though, Luke has to go to bed. So Luke is out, but we appreciate you guys letting him ask some questions.
A vulture feeding, too, if you ever come around.
A vulture feeding.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Rated a TV-14.
Really, no, Luke would so be into that. He would love every second of it.
I love it.
That's how he takes down a steak.
So,
bye.
See you, Luke.
Bye.
since we talked giraffes, I know we got some other questions. Do we have like Patreon or Discord or Instagram? We polled Instagram. We got some questions also. But I want to stay on giraffes because I had one question, and it is about giraffes. And do they tend to be aggressive creatures from what you've seen? Because I have an experience. Me and my mom, we went on a private safari at Animal Kingdom Lodge in the open trucks, and she had her back turned to a giraffe, and he was coming at her, and the tour guide had to do the old slap the nose down kind of thing as he lunged into the truck.
What was this?
Oh, that was 2015. Was it you? No.
No,
but I think it was because she did have a pair of sunglasses on her head. So I think he saw the reflection and was going for him. But
year was this?
I think it was 2015. I started my program. Yeah.
Okay. I probably know what giraffe that was too.
Oh, geez. We could track him down.
Do you have one that's a problem child?
No, there's just giraffes that are more, you know, attractive, more comfortable around humans than other giraffes. They all have different personalities, just like us. That's, you know, especially with giraffes, even currently ones that we have on our savannas, they're all different, especially how they approach us as the keepers or even just the guests. You have some that are very, very shy, and then others that, like what you're saying, will come up to a vehicle and have no issues. Standing there.
Yeah, she was sitting down. He locked eyes on those sunglasses and came a walking right at her.
The shiny stuff, shiny stuff is always going to attract the eyes of an animal. So they always get curious with that. Other than that, are they aggressive? How would you want to define aggressive?
I just didn't know if, you know, like they hate those tourists in those trucks. I was just looking to tell the story of my mom's giraffe attack first and foremost and see where it went from there.
I would definitely not say they're on the more aggressive side. I mean, they definitely will stay on their ground if they have to, but their first, you know, reaction is definitely to flee and go, and they'll run. They run about 35 miles per hour, and I would not want to be in the way if they're running. Boy,
time to butt in. Question from Brandon, one of our listeners. Who wins in a 200 meter dash? Me? A giraffe or a wild boar?
Giraffe. Like I said, 35 miles per hour. A wild boar, I think, is a little bit slower. And boy, 200 meters. Do you know how long those legs are?
That's a long race.
I like to run, and I know my short legs, how long each step it takes me. And those warhogs, they're quick. But yeah, hands down, it would be a giraffe.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Staying on giraffes real quick.
Oh, I've got another one for giraffes too.
Everyone loves the giraffe.
Luke is a trendsetter. Luke is a trendsetter.
That's why I love vultures, because everyone just comes on the tours that are at the hotel and they're like, where's the giraffe?
No, I have to ask. No,
I'm like, wait, do you see that bird in that tree up there?
Yeah, that.
And they're like, not, bro. Okay, great. Awesome. What
is that? Is that local to Florida? Bah, we don't care about that.
Yeah, you basically see that deer there? Oh, it's just a beautiful impala, but hey, it looks like a deer.
Let's talk about the giraffe. All right, what do you got?
No, all giraffe all day.
No, real quick, are they vocal? I've never really thought, like, what sound does a giraffe make?
Have you never been to Festival of the Lion King?
Yeah, do you even Festival of the Lion King?
You don't even have to answer that, Eddie.
Most overrated show on property, but hey, back to
Oh my gosh.
That's not even the
focus. He's done. It's a good thing Nick Lee is back.
Voyage of the Little Mermaid, live on stage, best live production.
Oh my God.
I won't disagree with that, but
Eddie?
Can I just say they don't sound like that?
Oh,
it's been a lie.
What do they
I've
sound
been
like?
Lied to.
I mean, they make hardly vocalize. Okay. Wait, I haven't been onto that show. What is what they say? It's like a
they
goat
say it's like a sheep, like a bah.
No, oh god.
They bleat. They say they bleat like a sheep.
No.
It's all coming out here. Festival. Right,
yeah,
lies.
Eddie. What do they do? Make the sound.
They hardly. They have like low frequency, so you don't really pick it up. At the time that you can hear them, but if they do vocal, it's loud, and you can hear more like a deeper like grunt. It just depends.
Corey, insert giraffe sound here. No, I'm just kidding.
For the times you won't hear them, but
is that do they communicate with each other?
Yeah, no, I never heard them sound like a sheep,
or like a
prove me wrong.
No, that's a different animal, Jared. Okay, so hold on. We're losing it already. Jared, we just started the episode.
Oh, God.
So staying on line of giraffe, this is not a giraffe-specific question, but a giraffe is what made me think of this question. If you had to choose one animal, all right, say we're in an apocalypse situation here, you know? I'm just going to paint a picture for you. You got one saddle in the barn. And you got all the animals at Dak Lodge to choose from. Who is your companion that you think you can form a bond with?
Loki.
Saddle up and ride out of there.
Loki.
Oh, yeah. He loves Loki.
Patterson Eland.
All right. All right.
He's strong.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be like Rick instead of that horse. I'll be with Loki walking down that highway of I-4. I'll be ready to go.
There you go.
I'll be ready to go. 2,000 pounds. Go. And then my boy is pure muscle. Kind of reminds me of like,
I love it.
That's hard see too, because we stayed at Dak Lodge recently and like you look at Loki from a distance and you don't get that size. Like it's not real to you when you're that far away. But whenever you're, I guess if you're up close, if you're saying that much, would you say 2,000 pounds?
Yep.
That's hefty.
That's crazy.
Hefty. All muscle. And crazy a boy, I put out tons of deadfall. I had guests not too long ago, they were laughing at me because I do a lot of the, you know, I try to be fit, you know, work out all the time. I put out a lot of the deadfall for our animals on the savannah, especially sunset, the one I focus on. So that's one of my passions, just how I, you know, manage the savannah look and for the animals, all that enrichment. But deadfall is like one of my specialties. You see me out there with a tractor, or if I'm just bringing it out with horticulture. But I was trying to rearrange this big, thick stump that I got for the eland in general. And they just toss it around. And I guess just because I'm like, it's like basically like a squat. And I'm going down and I'm trying to roll it because he pushed it almost all the way to the Sanaa window. And I'm here just like rolling it back into the middle of the savannah. And these guests were like, do you need a hand? Because I'm like, try not to grunt or like, you know, it was kind of like a CrossFit exercise. And I'm just like tossing this, but you see these, you know, gentle giants, just crazy how they just toss around these big deadfall logs, stumps, whatever.
That's so cool.
We can't even put our enrichment devices like that we have from normal, like from Joy of the Animals. If we do, we got to supervise it because they break it all the time. Just
wow.
Their head between it and they'll just flip it and not and snap it in half and get the treats. So
that's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's like they cheat. They know how strong they are. And
they know how to cheat the system.
Yeah, and they know how strong they are. The only animal that they are afraid of, would you take a guess? I wouldn't say afraid, they respect to. I would say they respect.
At Dak Lodge?
Yeah.
Oh, the vulture.
Zebra.
Could you imagine? It's a
vulture. You got it right. Zebra.
Zebra?
Yeah.
Because they're like, they're little turds, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
If you want to talk more about aggressive, being aggressive, like when you went back to that giraffe question, I had to pick one of the probably the most aggressive animal. Now I'm saying to humans, but to other, like to their own kind or to others, the zebra.
Really?
Yeah. If you stay at the lodge, just watch them your whole time. If you want to spend a whole day, you'll just be amazed. You'll be able to pick up a lot of social behaviors and dominance, especially the moms that are out there protecting their calves, or just the females alone. Usually the males are the ones. It's funny that our male stallions and our male, he always gets the crap beat out of them and by the females. I feel bad for that guy.
Aww.
All he's trying to do is just do the ladies. And my man is getting kicked to the face nonstop. And I'm like, this poor guy. Luckily, I'm not a zebra or a horse. It's like, look, it looks, whew.
I love it.
Dang.
I love it. Question from a listener, Tessie. What animal do you feel are either going extinct or are endangered that you feel would benefit being at Animal Kingdom to look after that aren't there now?
That are not there right now?
Oh, yeah. Do you think there's one that you'd be like, yeah, we could take control of that?
Well, that's for
me. Or do you want to take control? Like, is there one that you're like, I want this?
We call that our wish list. We have a wish list.
Of there it is.
Animals that we bring it to our upper like leaders of like, we want these, like, you know,
I love it.
A lot of them are endangered, but and then they're going to need to, you know, build a whole new savanna for them and stuff like that. But majority, I would say, senses that I would say as a team, it usually comes down to rhinos. A lot of folks want rhinos at the lodge. I would say that.
That's true.
Team answer. Usually, any type of rhino.
Love it.
I mean, there's a lot of different rhinos, obviously, and some are more endangered, critically endangered than others, but
that's
usually the team percentage are the highest.
Love it.
Huh.
Cool. All right, another question. Rarest breed at Animal Kingdom. Is there something that's just like super rare?
Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Either or.
I'm going to stay with the lodge. So I
you know the lodge.
Most accurate answer. So I'm not fake news, but I'm going to go most rarest. Man, our Rubel's Griffin vultures are critically endangered. Their population since the 70s is already almost 90% gone.
Wow.
Another reason why I love them. They are very they are critically endangered. We have, our Hartman's Mountain Zebra. They're threatened. I'm going through the list of all my stuff.
He literally clicked in his head, like, which ones are the worst out of the whole group?
What's the difference between like critically endangered and threatened?
Is the population size. So then you go vulnerable, and then you go threatened, endangered.
Critically endangered. Oh, endangered. Okay.
And extinct.
Got it. Cool. Yeah.
We got the addicts. They are critically endangered. Once was extinct, and they're actually working on reintroduction populations over in Africa. Just like they did with the scimitar horn orcs, which at the lodge as well.
All right.
Yeah, I can go.
Remind me the addicts. Is that
easiest way to remember? Probably for you. If you remember Kilimanjaro safaris, they used to be in the poacher scene. They have very
yes
Arctic fur. in the summertime. In the winter, they have more of a darker for the winter coat. They'll shed that. And then they have like 40 to 50 inches length horns, male and females. And they go like inward, then outward, and then back in and out. Very beautiful. And they have oval shaped hooves because they're a desert species, just like the oryx. Okay. So they have the same type of reintroduction program going on to bring their numbers back up because they were once extinct. So there's a lot of cool programs going out there.
Love it.
I have a question though.
Oh, okay.
Off, you know, if you can't answer this, Eddie, I get it. But I want to know.
Oh boy.
Has there ever been a day in your career at Animal Kingdom Lodge, in the park, whatever, that maybe an animal went missing for a little while and everybody was just kind of like, look, it's here. We know it's here, but we just can't find it. And then it maybe eventually showed up or any kind of anything like that.
96E. I still got it, baby. I love that code.
These listeners are going to be going around the park hearing on that radio. They're like, oh my, 96. They know what that
is. I used to love that code as an operation. It's like, oh, what do we got?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
But very easy one for us over at the lodge. I mean, it was no secret at the time. This is why we have different managements for them. Multiple reasons, but this is one of them. Our guinea fowl, which were also very problem at on the safari ride as well. When I was a driver back in my college program days in 07, when they were in a Turi, it was miserable because they used to go underneath the vehicles all the time. And I would remember asking guests, hey, can you be my spotter? Because you don't want to run them over. But a lot of times,
yes. Hey, can you take on this task of making sure I don't kill an animal, right?
Yeah, I'm like straight honest with my guests because they would have the cattle guard or they have the brush guards to help stop the guineas going there, but they were still going under. And I was like, I was so happy once I heard they were no longer on a Turi because I would just have nightmares because they would come under and I would just see them. And there's kind of my, and then when they see that truck, they just always go for the truck. And I'm like,
I did hear that. I didn't know it was those specific ants, but someone said that they would literally just like have no fear of the trucks and just go right under them.
They wouldn't. And then I would ask guests, be like, hey,
yeah,
can you spot me and let me know if the guinea fowl or multiple.
Hey, sad. We have a problem with running over our guinea fowl.
Our hotel. I mean, sometimes, you know, they would just get some wind on those windy days and be able to sometimes get on like balconies or in the roof and then they'll just come right back down. But
Awesome. So guinea fowl is a very safe answer there.
It's gonna be like a lion.
Had a lion, a silverback, an elephant, anything that was just like where he's not in the cage, he's not out in the savannah. Where is it?
The gorilla out in the savannah.
Listen, I saved an animal. So the macaws that I don't know if they do, you know, Eddie, do they still fly out? Do they just still do that show?
Yeah.
Where the, okay.
They actually come to it. A lot of times that you'll see them at the lodge. They take a little bit of a detour and the macaws are hanging out with me.
Almost like every other day you'd hear the code for an escaped animal. And it was always the macaw. And there was one time I was working out front of Safari and saying like in a tree, I just hear like this, like a call of a bird that I've never heard, or like I was like, that's not normal. And I looked, I'm like, that's a macaw. And like a minute later they called missing it. So I got to actually like reply to it and say, come to Safari. It's over here.
That
so kind of cool. But those ones all the time, macaws were like every other day.
Because they're just standing there like, and it's like, yes. And they're
this is normal.
Do they know the birds here? And I'm like, yes, they know the birds.
It's normal.
No, 2 seconds later, someone's coming around the corner. Like, come on. Like, you know, it's so funny. Oh my God.
The birds always cause issues.
Always. Get it?
I love it.
Macaws the issue.
They're fun though.
Oh man, on that. Okay.
Here it is.
I've got a question.
That was lame.
So,
come on, Nick.
Master of dad jokes, Nick Foster. Anyways, Eddie, what two places? What is your favorite place that is guest accessible at Animal Kingdom Lodge, either Kidani or Jumbo House? Like, what is your whether it's the lobby and overlook, something like that? And what is your favorite place that is
cast member exclusive, a place on the Savannah where you find yourself working, where you could just hang out for a while. And that's like one of your favorite places.
Well, one thing about the lodge is pretty visible to all. You could see the barns from like the guest areas, especially like, you know, I'm on Sunset. We have, you know, a couple of the rooms right next to our barn or above Pick our Hawk Holding. So it's really no like, you know, secret hangout spot. Cause like what you see is like, is what we see as well. So
true.
Overall, I always tell guests, if you want to see how we like cue our animals in, one, you got to wake up really early unless you want to see it. Like our sunset one, we'll start at around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. But if you're in any of the stairwells that are next to, this would be in Jumbo House, so the stairwell, unless you have a room looking towards our barn, you'll be able to see how we bring our animals in voluntarily. And it's pretty cool to watch. And then you'll see them anywhere from 20 minutes to a couple hours when we release them back on the Savannah.
Do you ever have guests that are like at 5:30 in the morning, you've got like 10, 20 guests that are on the stairwell, or is it usually like,
they're not on the stairwell. That's more late. A lot of cast members utilize it more because they know about it. I feel like a lot of guests just don't know about the stairwells, or it's a long walk. Everyone says how far, you know, the hotel is, how long it is to get to those rooms. So I think people just miss out on those great views and the stairwells. And that goes for like all the other Savannahs as well. They have those stairwells.
Yeah.
So, but I see a lot of people out on the balcony though, or bright early in the morning though.
Right.
And then they watch.
Very nice.
Cool.
Yes, Disney stairwells are the place to be, whether at Contemporary or Animal Kingdom Lodge. Check out the stairwells of your local Disney hotel. A lot of secrets.
Yeah, I mean, they just got great views, and just that's what I would do.
Very nice.
Love it. All right, Alex, this is a random one. Which animal on the safari would most likely be able to drink around the world the best?
I say myself.
The one that weighs the most.
I say myself.
Oh, Eddie, that's a challenge, my friend. That's a challenge.
The most appropriate answer. It's the I'm most responsible.
I'm a veteran at this.
Yeah, Eddie's got plenty of experience.
They have a picture of Eddie on one of the placards on the Savannah. It's like, buck, this baby. Isn't Eddie Simon.
I'm a
right
water
here.
Buck guy.
Here's the animals aren't used to that kind of thing though. Like, I don't know.
I'm gonna go just by personality. I'm gonna go wildebeest.
Wildebeest.
I feel like they'd be just knocking everybody out of the way. They'd be like, you know.
They just won't. They are the toughest animals. Now they are.
All right.
They will not stop. I never seen an animal just so tough.
I have a personal vendetta against wildebeest because they were partially responsible for Mufasa's death. So
I mean, yeah.
That is tough. They get a bad rep too. Speaking of vultures, they get a bad rep.
That's debatable.
trigger warning. Trigger warning.
I would say they would just keep going. Like wildebeest, I could see them just keep going.
Yeah, like they kept going over Mufasa's corpse.
Going until they finish around the world. And then by the time they end, they're just going to like pass out and they're like, yeah, they're tough as nails.
It's my strategy too. Just keep going and then pass out at the end.
I have a question.
Weakness. Yeah.
Describe a moment, if you can, from work where you were like most fulfilled in your job. Like you were like, this is why I do what I do every day.
That's a tough, oh man, there's a lot of them. Oh. Man, I like that question, but
you want to think about that one?
Yeah, no, I recently have been thinking about that one because I just watched The Good Place and I remember that.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I don't want to do spoilers, but at the end of it, it was basically like what you just said, to fulfill, like your soul is like filled and you know when it's time to go or that you're satisfied that you made it there and you're just content, like,
that's
all
a crazy
for
question.
It.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah,
I'm trying not to like give away spoilers, but yeah, I'm just fulfilled of the soul. But I'm gonna go with a recent one, with back to my England. It was a different eland, but we were able to voluntarily do x-rays on him. And I was able to train him to do voluntary x-rays while up, not even sedated. He was lame for a while. So we were able to,
wow.
Yes, we were able to voluntarily check with the vets. Came in and did it in one shot. Actually, we did it twice, but both of them were all one takes and all voluntarily. And we're able to do beautiful x-rays on him, and it's all in a safe manner for us and our eland.
That's awesome. That's really powerful. Cool. Very cool.
To be able to do that, because animals do know when there's, you're not, because you form that bond. It's just like if you have your own animal. So when a stranger comes in, he's like stranger danger. And they also, they know right away when vets are here or just a random stranger, you'll be able to tell right away. So it's always something to challenge for us keepers to be able to get these animals custom and desensitize them, especially when we do like backstage tours, like Sense of Africa was one of them. When we had to take guests backstage and like feed the giraffe and other animals and get the animals used to seeing these strangers also wearing different outfits. So that's also a plus, is when the same thing. So they're, it's like a comfort zone for them. But to sum it up, that was probably one of the best highlights. And now he's a breeder male at Busch Gardens.
That's so cool.
That's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah. I feel like you get like a sense of like fulfillment in that bond that you have with the animals. Yes. Like that has to be motivating to keep you going back. It's making me emotional, like thinking about that. That's really cool.
This job is very emotional, through the good and the bad.
I can imagine.
It's like, I can't imagine losing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let alone like, oh yeah, you know, I just raised this eland and now he's leaving for Busch Gardens and we have this special bond and now I'm not going to see. It's like, oh my God, I'd be crying my eyes out. Like, I can't even imagine like going through that, you know, so much, because you have to form these bonds with these animals, you know?
You know, 100%. It's tough. I'm glad I'm not, I mean, I work with the zebra, but I'm not on the zebra team. And we quite often to other facilities for our breeding program. So it is, a lot of our keepers do get emotionally attached when you see them go, you know, away. And how much
time how do you separate that? And also, like, maybe this is too personal, but that's me. I ask personal questions. Do you feel like that affects your personal life with like attachment? Like, do you struggle with that in like your relationships and stuff? I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too personal here, but I feel like
Oh my gosh. Counseling with Nick Foster.
Maybe we need to have our own separate podcast, but that's interesting to me.
No, I don't think that needs to be a separate podcast at all.
No, I love it. I love these questions. It's great. It's better than the ones I always get, you know, same questions every day, but, no, I 100% agree.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. Favorite animal.
Listen, he's 5 years old, okay?
Shut up, giraffe. And no one cares but giraffe. Everyone just wanted to know about giraffe.
Oh, just kidding.
You're like, man, we have all these other animals.
We have 8 giraffe questions to start.
So this is all cool, but can we talk about the giraffe now?
Well, hold on, But it definitely does affect 100% with my... when I get more personal life, how it is, but it also helps me also my personal life with personal animals or just in depth in general. The life cycle has helped me throughout the years.
Yeah.
I've been through some very tough times with my animals. I was very close and attached to. So bring that over to personal life. When I lose someone close and special, you know, obviously a human or a four-legged friend or another type of animal, I'm just kind of prepares me of how to cope and deal with it.
Well, you've got a friend in me. If you ever need someone to talk to during those situations, man, you know I got you.
Thank you. Powerful stuff right there. We, and another like on the separate, we can get even more deeper if you want. I mean,
no,
always.
I had some gut-wrenching moments in my career.
I can imagine. I don't want to imagine. I can't. It takes us.
Know that they put everything on the line and give it all they got. It's a very passionate, driven field. No one's doing it for the money. They're doing it all for the love of wildlife and conservation.
That's cool. Well, let's stick. I guess sticking with like the series. So the chupacabra. Do you think he's real?
Yes.
You do.
Yes, I just want to believe, just like I believe in Bigfoot.
Let's go.
Is he on the Animal Kingdom Lodge wish list?
Can you imagine this? Just we have a chupacabra?
Would you turn that into your manager and have chupacabra number one on your wish
list? That would bring a lot of guests in, so you know Disney would be all about it.
They'll probably make an animatronic that walks around the Savannah at that point.
I mean, I just want to go back on Everest and see that Yeti, you know, alive again.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that's ever happening.
I know. This is we aren't gonna talk about Eddie Horror Nights this year now that I'm gonna be over there. Just saying.
We're gonna talk about that in another episode.
Yeah, you can join us for a Universal episode, man. We're gonna be doing that on Patreon.
I was gonna ask you guys a question on that.
What do you got?
I was gonna ask you actually. It's funny how you brought that up. I was gonna say, if you had to go to one, would you go to Mickey's Not So Scary or Howling Horror Nights? I already know my answer. You probably already know mine.
I know my answer hands down. It's Mickey's Not So Scary. I am a wimp, and Howling Horror Nights is not for me.
No, you know what? I'm going to throw this for another loop. I'm going to go Hollow Scream from Busch Gardens.
I mean, that's what you got to drive from. We're going to go.
I know, but it's better, man. It's the best one.
I know it is.
But I'll go Horror Nights all day. Horror Nights is like amazing.
I agree.
I like the scary stuff. If Disney did a Horror Night style, we've talked about this.
Gosh, that would be insane. Happen.
But that would be so cool.
Like that Winnie the Pooh movie that someone said.
Oh yeah, yeah, dude, yeah, the haunted Winnie the Pooh coming.
Oh
yeah.
My god,
that looks scary. Is that?
I lost Mickey's Not So Scary. I was very salty last year when my buddies were all at the Oogie Boogie and.
Oh, I know.
And they basically had our parade and everything. And he was sending me videos like, this is amazing. I'm like, I know. And we didn't get anything. And then, obviously, my biggest factor with it is I used to go, obviously, when I was 2007 in college, probably my first time. Mm-hmm. But the crowd attendance, they kept it so minimal. It was just amazing. And then I went a few years back. And it was just like, I couldn't move.
I think that's the hardest part. And that's why I like Hollow Scream better, I think, is because the crowds are a little more minimal, where Halloween Horror Nights, now there's no breaks between. It's a full line. So you just know when things are coming. And
Disney and Universal, the crowd, they got to bring it back to the capacity they used to. Like you're saying, they never give out the capacity percentage. I got that. Oh. I have a good laugh.
Dude, we'll be going this year for sure.
Don't get Hunter started.
So about Disney and COVID.
I know all about that. I was working the whole time.
I love that.
All right, let me dial it back to the animal questions here.
Exclusively animals.
It's all right. Here, a little more of a Eddie. So if anybody out there who's listening, you know, they just hear what you do and they're like, "Wow, that would be my dream job." What steps would you give them, whether it's with Disney or I know you've got some past with SeaWorld and things like that. What steps would you give somebody who's just that random person who's from Connecticut that would love to one day work?
Just start volunteering at your anywhere you can get experience with animals, even with your local shelter. Start getting that experience down on that resume. Like I said, local shelters for a young person is probably the one I would recommend because they always need help. And then branch off to volunteer at your local zoos. I used to, when I left my pharmacy gig and I moved back down here and I met all of you, when I was trying to get my foot into the field, I was actually commuting from Orlando to Tampa a couple times a week and I was volunteering at Lowry Park Zoo. And that was my first way of starting in the zoo field to get experience.
That's cool.
And then I just
great zoo, by the way. Crazy.
Yeah, underrated zoo.
What are some of the backgrounds of the people yourself and the people that you work with, whether they be like the animal care specialists or leadership for those guys? Is it going to school with
the study emphasis on animal care, or is it something else? And they just happened their way.
A lot of Michigan State people. They got a zoo program there, but yeah, a lot of my coworkers came from Michigan State. It's a lot of Spartans pride over at the lodge, and they're very passionate Spartans. But yeah, I would say Santa Fe is another place that they will go to. A lot of keepers have come from, and that's in more of a northern Florida. And zoology background or just a science background is usually the main thing you'll get in our field. But at the end of the day, I've had worked with people that didn't have any college experience, but they have a ton of animal experience. So
love it.
Each your own.
Is there a way to tell how old a lion is?
Usually what I look is at the mane.
I was going to say slice them like a tree and count his layers on his
skin. That is ridiculous, Jarrett.
And that's why you can't castrate a lion.
We're calling HR.
Oh, wait, why?
You won't be able to castrate a male lion. I mean, you could, but if you did, they won't grow a mane.
Oh, no way.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Cool. I guess we'll just have a couple more here. I don't know how much you would know about this. Mariana, she said, any advice for a new tarantula owner, a curly-haired tarantula? Or I don't know if she's curly-haired or if tarantula's curly-haired. But she said curly-haired.
Well,
any advice for a new tarantula owner?
How many tarantulas are you taking care of at Dak Lodge?
None. And I actually have a lot of black and brown widows actually in our like surrounding areas.
Oh,
they're awesome. I love seeing them, but I never really taken care of spiders. I mean, if I have spiders in my house, I just take them and I put them back outside.
You're nicer than me.
You just catch them and release.
There's no kill zone.
No kill zone. I like it.
Yeah.
A mosquito on your forehead. What do you do?
I really like that.
What do you do to a mosquito on your forehead? Grab his wings and just throw him outside?
Lightly grab it.
No, you tell me
you smack a mosquito.
My hands are very gentle throughout these years. I'm like, you know, if you're seeing like Cobra Kai or the Karate Kid, Miyagi, I'm very gentle with the hands.
So you like cup it and then just like release it outside?
Yes. Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Right. I just use my hands. But it took me a while to learn how to catch. They're faster, these lizards. You know, back in Connecticut, we don't really have them. Mm-hmm. So catching these lizards in the house was always fun. But now I got it down. Because, you know, they go up those walls so fast. So I'm like, you know, climbing with them on the walls and using ladders and whatnot.
Mm.
It's pretty cool.
That's
very nice.
All right, two more questions. Do elephants really have a good memory?
Yes.
They do.
Do they have the best memory, or is there another animal that not many people know about that has a better memory maybe than elephants?
Our hornbill. I know he's very famous in the series Casanova, which season 2 should be coming out soon.
Mm.
But maybe you'll see me there.
Oh, hell.
I was going to ask that question. Are we going to see you in season 2 or what?
Maybe. See if I make the cut.
Yeah, it all depends on the editing.
I had a lot of scenes in the first season. I think it was just wasn't suited for the audience. we had a lot of good stuff, but they went a different direction. Hopefully, maybe I'll make the cut in this new one. But we'll see. Casanova, people love him. His popularity. Oh my god! After that show, they just come and like that's all they want to see is Casanova. He's a hornbill, Abyssinian ground hornbill, very smart, like a 3-year-old, and he's funny to watch out in the savannah. But yeah, elephants are known, especially it's usually the matriarch is the eldest of the oldest female, and she brings everyone, especially during the drought season, to those places that she has learned throughout her years. To be able to survive through those severe times, and they would remember where to go to find water, food, etc. But yeah, elephants, extremely smart.
Cool. I have one last question.
Okay.
And this is just pure curiosity at this point from my end. So I know they don't really mess around with each other too much, But in the ocean, you've got a blue whale, massive size. You've got a great white shark.
Yep.
Who wins in a fight? Is the blue whale quick enough?
I'm going to go killer whale.
Well, that I think killer whale wins, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm picking.
What about a blue whale?
How big?
We're talking big, man. Blue whales are big.
Yeah, I think the great white won't. Unless
you don't think he could dominate it just from pure the bite and speed?
Nope.
It's like if I told you to walk up to an T-Rex.
They really haven't seen great whites hunt like killer whales do. They've seen a couple. I saw one rare footage of some great whites hunting together. But basically those killer whales will just try, mostly it's the younger of the whale. Mm. They'll just try to tire it out.
I guess that's like the,
and then just basically through fatigue, and then they'll make their attack once it slows down and can't really, you know, swim that much.
That makes sense. I guess it's like a raptor versus like a brontosaurus.
Who wins? Yeah, I mean,
a brontosaurus probably dominates.
It's like if I told you, Jarrett, to go walk up and bite an elephant.
If you go one on one,
no, yeah, that's a good point. Elephant would dominate me. Yeah, but I don't have the bite of a great white.
Comparatively, your bite
agile enough
is the same as a great white to a whale as yours is to an elephant. But okay. Anyways,
I was just curious.
Eddie, sidetrack away from animals here. What is your favorite Disney park other than Animal Kingdom?
You know the answer to this.
Yeah, favorite Disney park other than Animal Kingdom.
Easy, Epcot.
That a boy.
What is your favorite resort other than DAC Lodge?
What am I doing? That's a tough one.
Know the answer to this.
What am I doing?
What are you doing?
What I'm doing.
Why
am I going to this hotel? Like,
you are solo.
You get a one night stay.
One night stay solo.
Solo.
Anywhere you want.
Where are you staying?
I love the Riviera. I've been
going
to great option.
And I've been loving the sunsets there. Yeah, sunset in that restaurant. Oh man.
Dude, get some Topolino's Terrace, sit down at sunset, stay through the fireworks for dinner.
I do know a lot. That's been my go-to spot.
Mm-hmm.
I do like California Grill has a great sunset as well, but hotel wise, Riviera and then Boardwalk was a close second.
All right. I like it.
Thought you were gonna go Poly for me. Thought you were going Poly.
Poly's not that great.
Always a Poly guy.
There's just
or the cabins at Fort Wilderness, baby.
Hey.
Cabins at Fort Wilderness underrated.
No. I'm gonna go with the new cabins over at Wilderness Lodge.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a dream stay right there. Yeah. Yep.
We can all go and have
that's
fun.
That's a good point.
It will take all of us to go because they are so expensive.
Yeah. money was an issue, 100%. I agree with you there. They're beautiful.
I love it. Well, thank you, Eddie. Does anybody have any other questions? We good?
I love being on.
Eddie, seriously, happy to have you on, man. Always a pleasure. These are great, great questions from the listeners as well. But thank you, Eddie. Seriously, always informative, always fun to listen to. You're just always just a good man. Good man. We need people like Eddie on this planet. More of them. Hey.
I need more of those deep questions. I love
it. Yeah, when I branch off and do my own when I branch off for my own segment on Patreon, just you'll be my first guest. We'll get into this oil tonight.
You got me thinking now.
That's the goal. That's the sign of a good interview. We're gonna get deep into those connection issues that you've got going on.
I'm
dead serious.
Counselors ain't cheap. So Patreon, $25 tier. Counseling with Nick Foster.
Nick charges $75 an hour.
Literally, you want to talk about moments where of total fulfillment in your job? This isn't even my job, and I would find so much fulfillment in that. Yeah. So let's do it.
100%. There's a whole nother life of zookeeper.
I
can't wait to get into
Nick,
it.
I went to Magic Kingdom. They ran out of
Jarrett.
Can we talk about my connection to Winnie the Pooh? Many of
Hunter,
Winnie the Pooh in the park.
Your episode is going to take 3 hours.
And the Mad Tea Party.
Yeah, Hunter is a lost. Hunter might be a lost.
I'm very connected to
those. What's everyone's favorite ride?
Oh man, we're going into it. All right. Now it's Eddie as the cast.
All right.
Favorite ride.
Where did I rank it?
So I'm going to go Flight of Passage in Pandora. Close second, Mickey and Minnie's.
All right.
It's just such a cool ride.
Splash Mountain. Passage, number one for me.
Flight of Passage. See,
mine is Rise of the Resistance and then Guardians, the new Guardians roller coaster.
What a basic. That is so basic.
The two newest rides.
I love them. They're good. They're amazing. If you want nostalgia, Space Mountain, but the other two.
No. We're just talking about favorite. We could talk about
nostalgia
is a whole other category.
Yeah, Flight of Passage. Expedition Everest is mine.
Okay. Eddie, what's yours?
You should already know Haunted Mansion, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That's Mel's favorite.
Yeah.
I go to the park, I just do that, and I leave.
That's Mel's favorite. Mel, what's yours?
I don't know.
Enchanted Tales with Belle?
I mean, I love Carousel of Progress and Little Mermaid are like two, but I feel like that's more like my heart kind of thing. Like if I'm thinking like fast and fun,
if it's not your heart, then what are you basing it off of?
I don't know. Like
back in Nick's corner here,
like it's like the actual
tell
like
me more Mel.
Tell me more about how you're love being mocked of Carousel
I'm just
of Progress.
Saying, it's like from my heart, it's like I want to pick things that aren't as technically advanced, but like from a technical standpoint, like Rise would be amazing, or you know, things of that nature. So,
which one do you like? The most. See, when you try to conform to the views of this world, Mel, you don't show your true self.
What? I'm gonna be your partner in crime on this show.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
No.
He's totally mocking you.
Let me tell you though, have you guys been to one of the like Disney like celebrations yet? I just went for my 10 years a couple weeks ago. Let me tell you, the character meet and greets there. Top notch. Was the best thing there.
Wow.
And for me being a Haunted Mansion lover, oh my God, they brought out things I never even knew they had in their repertoire.
What, like what?
The Hitchhiking Ghost came out.
That's cool.
They never come out for anything. And they had a good, I'll just send you the picture. They had a good like prop set with like the tombstones and fog, and they are all glowing in the dark. So obviously
that's crazy.
They had Master Gracie and the Bride on the hill talking and singing to you while you're just chilling there.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and then they had the caretaker, and then they had another, the guy that's, I forgot his name, that's with a dog right before you go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He was there. And then they had ballroom dancers come out, and they would dance for like 5-10 minutes, like ballroom dancing.
They went all out.
It sounds like something they need to do for the next Halloween party.
Oh my God. They don't even do that for that.
I know.
Yeah, that's crazy. It
was phenomenal. But they had all the other, Wall-E, my second favorite. Wall-E was hidden next to Space Mountain. And I saw it right before it closed. And it was a life. And I was saying that before I went in. I was like, I wish Wall-E was a me and greedy character. And my wish came true. And I was like, I saw Wall-E. I ran to him. And it wasn't just like it was an actual robot Wall-E that was moving and talking.
Wow,
that is so cool.
That's pretty cool. Where are they hiding that? Where are you hiding that, Disney? Come on.
They found it next to the Carousel. It was phenomenal. Oh my God.
That's awesome.
I almost didn't see that while I was like, it was phenomenal.
Now they need like Eve just like flying around. Eva just flying around.
A little ways to go until we get there.
I don't know. Remember when they had the flying dragon?
What?
Remember when they busted out that flying dragon that like went above Magic Kingdom?
Yes, I miss the flying.
That was crazy.
That's when I liked the Polynesian, when there was birds in the lobby.
Yes. Oh, Hunter, check it. Flying dragon above Magic Kingdom. It's crazy.
We're going to have to look into that. We're going to talk about that.
There you go. All right. Well, Eddie, thank you again for being on the show, brother. Always a pleasure. We'll definitely do this again. Let's get you on a Universal Patreon episode too. I think we'll get Mark on there. We're also going to be doing like a Beachbody thing with you and Mark. I think you and Mark need to do a Patreon Beachbody.
Hey, Mark and I got to hang out with him at Universal for a quick second.
He's such a good dude.
Just such a great guy. And I love that guy, Captain Coffee. And hopefully we connect in fall time. But I help him out. I send him a lot of my workouts. back and forth. We did the Murph a couple weeks ago, and I was so proud of him that he went out and did it. But yeah, I'm down. The guy's like 10 years younger than me. He looks great. He's going to keep that back. So I'm ready to go.
I love it. I love it. Thank you to the cast. Thank you, Corey, Nick, Mel, Hunter. Thank you for being on the episode tonight. And as always, thank you to our Happiest Army on Patreon for all the financial support and all the fun we have on there. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, this is not goodbye. This is See You Real Soon. So we will talk to you all later. Please stay safe out there and have a magical week. Ta-ta for now.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Bye-bye. Today's episode of the Happiest Podcast on Earth is brought to you by The Lost Bros. Check out thelostbros.com or find them on social media for a bunch of different merch themed around any of the theme parks you can find in Orlando. You can use our special promo code HAPPIESTPOD for 15% off of your first purchase. That's HAPPIESTPOD for 15% off of your first purchase. Head to their website and use it today. Get that discount, ladies and gentlemen. Great company, great sponsor for us. So definitely check them out.